may believe the gospel accounts of Jesus' birth and know it's really why this holiday season exists, but does that mean that you truly understand what Christmas is all about? Find out if you're in danger of missing Christmas and how you can keep that from happening. That's next on Grace to You Weekend. Perhaps you know by heart the story of Jesus' birth in the Gospel of Luke. You grew up hearing it every December. But despite that, is it still possible that what matters most about this holiday season is lost for you? Today on Grace to You Weekend, John MacArthur shows you how some folks in Jesus' day missed the true significance of his birth and how that could happen to you. The lesson today, the people who missed Christmas. First, before we get to that, let's turn the corner and think for a moment about all of the songs played at this time of year. John, let me ask this one. What is your favorite Christmas hymn? And maybe you could talk about why it's your favorite.
Well, I think there's a lot of nostalgia around Christmas, and we have memories of hymns and songs that we sung as children. And there are a lot of children's songs, like Away in the Manger, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and even Silent Night was written as a children's song, and we have some wonderful memories of those. But if you press me a little bit, I will tell you that my favorite Christmas song is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And it's not because of that line. It's because of the theology of that amazing hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. That's just the refrain. The theology in that hymn, I think, is the richest and most comprehensive and deepest and perhaps the most beautifully crafted poetically of any of our Christmas hymns. Now, I'm going to challenge you to go somewhere. If you don't have to go very far, you can probably look at your computer and download a copy of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Don't sing it. Read the verses, all of them. Or grab your hymnal that you have on the shelf, or when you go to church on Sunday, pull that hymnal out of the pew, if your church has hymnals, which I hope they do, and read that. See if you don't agree with me.
Thanks, John. Well, friend, if you found yourself distracted this month, having not been focusing on Christ as much as you'd really like to, or maybe you've just never known what Christmas is really all about, let me urge you to stay with us now for a lesson that can change your perspective. Here's now John MacArthur to look at the people who miss Christmas.
I want you to meet another man who missed Christmas, Matthew chapter 2. This man really missed it. And he's very different than the innkeeper. He wasn't ignorant. He was very well informed. His name is Herod. And believe me, Herod missed Christmas. Matthew 2:1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Now watch this, King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Now Herod pretended to want to worship Jesus Christ, but he was tremendously fearful because one had been born who was called the King of the Jews. And it says there, Herod, verse 3, the king. He was a king, and when he knew there was born a king, he was afraid. When it says he was troubled, it uses the word that means to be agitated, stirred up, shaken up. It is the idea of total panic. He panicked. He had no room for Jesus. Why? Fear. Fear. He was afraid of him. He was afraid of another king. Let me tell you why. Herod was an Edomite. He wasn't even a Jew. What was he doing ruling in the land. Well, he was of the Idumean family, an Edomite. He was following along behind his father Antipater, who had done some favors to Rome, and Herod continued to do that. And while Rome was occupying Palestine, Herod did everything he could to get into the favor of Rome. He played the game to the hilt. He sought political goals and political ends, and the power play was going on all the time. And Rome really trusted Herod, and Rome really kind of liked Herod. So finally, the Senate appointed him, get this, king of Judea. And he was not even a Jew. Now, when he heard that there was born one called the King of the Jews, it's no wonder he panicked. Because he was a political madman, because he sought glory and grandeur and a kingly place, he was immediately threatened, even though this was a baby and he was an old man. The rumor of another king panicked Herod. Now, when he heard that a child was born, it was to be the King of the Jews, verse 16 of chapter 2 says, the wise men, of course, didn't come back and tell him. So he saw that he was mocked by the wise men. He was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and he slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all its borders from 2 years old and under. And 2 years old means anything from the first month you enter that second year to the fullness of that second year. And so they were slaughtered, all of these children, in order to try to wipe out the child. And as you know, God had already warned Joseph and Mary, and they had taken Jesus and fled to Egypt. Why did Herod miss Christmas? Fear. Jealous fear. You say, well, surely there aren't any Herods left. Surely there aren't any people who slaughter people. Oh, there are around the world. Believe me, there are. And I think we're realizing more and more about it. Man is depraved. There are always Herods in any society. But I think there's a greater lesson for the mass of humanity than just to see this as Herod only. Because there are many, many people who miss Christmas because of the same basic kind of fear that Herod had. Herod's fear was that somebody else would take his throne. That was his fear. And I would affirm to you that there are a lot of people like that. Herod wasn't about to let this little child interfere with his career, with his position, with his power, with his ambition, with his plans, and with his lifestyle. He was not about to let somebody else be the king. And I guess I have seen as much of that as I have any other kind of reason for rejecting Christ. Oh, there are people who want Jesus as a resource when they get into trouble. There are people who want Jesus as sort of a nice spiritual friend. There are people who maybe even want Jesus as somebody to keep them out of hell, but they're not interested in crowning him Lord. What about you? Have you said no to Jesus Christ in your life because you're afraid of the claim he'll lay on you? Because you want to be the Lord of your life, the master of your fate, the king of your little thin kingdom? That's tragic. His kingdom is so much more glorious. There's a third group that missed Christmas. Look back at chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 4. This is shocking. Herod heard from the wise men that this child was to be born. And boy, he wanted to find out where immediately to put the child to death. And so he gathered, verse 4, the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and demanded of them where the Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. He said he called all the experts together, the brain trust, the theologians, the chief priests were the high priest, the captain of the temple police, and the best of all the priests out of all the orders, with the great administrative skills and the great teaching skills and the great leadership skills. They had become the chief priests. They were the minds, the brains. They were the theological minds of the day, the Sanhedrin. And they knew all the scriptures, and their friends, the scribes, who were the linguists and the interpreters and the ones who knew the culture and the history that surrounded the biblical data. And the combination of all of these men got together and they said, we know where the Messiah is to be born. And they quoted Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Old Testament prophet who said Bethlehem. They knew. You know what shocks me? Just shocks me. They never went there. Did you ever think about that? They never went there. You say, is that surprising? It is to me. What was the one thing the Jews had been looking for? Since Moses had said there would come one known as that prophet, what is the one person that they had looked for all the way through their history? A deliverer. And here they were under Roman oppression. Now always they had looked for a deliverer. They had longed for such a one to come. It had been the great hope of all our ages. It had been the one that they had looked for. The destiny of Israel was bound up in the coming deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed, the greater son than David's son, the one who would come and establish the kingdom, the great hope of their hearts, the hunger in their breasts, illustrated in the ministry of John the Baptist as they flocked to hear of one who was preparing the way for the Messiah. And here were the brains of theology. Here were the ones who knew it all, and yet they never even bothered to walk 2 miles to 3 miles south to Bethlehem to find out for themselves if this was not the Messiah. Why? Why did the Sanhedrin miss Christmas? I'll tell you why. One word. Indifference. Indifference. They didn't care. Why were they indifferent? Well, because of pride, or if you want to look at it from the other angle, because they didn't think they had a need. What did they need with a Savior? What did they need with a Messiah? They were all right the way they were. You see, the problem of indifference is the problem of not realizing the state of sinfulness. Now, I think there are many people who miss Christmas today because of that. They ignore Christ because they don't know they're sinful. They don't care about the Savior because they don't understand that they need to be saved. They don't understand that the wages of sin is death, that sin plummets people into an eternal hell. They don't understand that. So consequently, they ignore the remedy because they don't even qualify the disease. The innkeeper missed Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. Herod missed Christmas because of jealous fear. The Sanhedrin missed Christmas because of indifferent pride. Fourthly, Jerusalem missed Christmas. Isn't that amazing? Jerusalem, right there, missed Christmas. Shocking. Back to Luke chapter 2. Let me show you something. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord came to them, and you know the rest of the story. The angel told them what to do, and the shepherds came and they saw the Christ child. And verse 20 says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Out of the whole of Jerusalem society, you know who God picked to tell us to? Shepherds. And they came. No one else came. Did you know that? And if you read further in the narrative of Luke, you don't hear much beyond the shepherds. For example, in verse 25 of chapter 2, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And then it goes on to tell how Simeon waited for the consolation of Israel. Simeon was righteous and Simeon was devout and Simeon wanted to see the Messiah and Simeon did see the Messiah and he glorified God and said, I'm ready to die now. There was a man. Is that all? No, there was a lady too. Anna, verse 36, a widow. And she saw the Messiah. And then in the end of verse 38, and she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna told a few others. But the sad thing is, listen, people, the mass of Jerusalem missed Christmas. Totally. It happened a couple of miles away. It was the fulfillment of all their dreams and all their hopes. It was that great event which was to change the destiny of the world. But they missed it. Why did they miss it? Why did Jerusalem miss it? I'll tell you why. Religion. Religion. They were very religious. They were so busy with their religion, carrying out their ritual, that they missed the reality. Well, they had all their feasts and all their festivals and all their ceremonies and all their washings and all of their rules and regulations and laws and myriads of things that had grown up around their religious system that were not even biblical at all. All kinds of rules they had to keep. And in the midst of all of their religion, they never got the message. Oh, listen, religion will damn you faster than anything else if it's false religion or if it's their true religion in the wrong way. Because religion gives you a place to hide and think you're spiritual. Satan's ultimate disguise is as an angel of what? Of light. And so Jerusalem missed Christmas while they were religious. Fifth, the Romans missed Christmas. The Romans are woven all through the biblical record. But they all missed Christmas. You know why? Idolatry. They had their own gods. Christ didn't fit in. And there are people in the world like that too. Oh, Jerusalem, they worshiped the right God, but in the wrong way, and they missed it. And you can be a Protestant, and you can be in a church and miss it. And some people just are just pagan, and they miss Christmas. Not only because they worship Buddha or something else, but they have their own gods. Oh, I don't think people worship the idols like they did then, but I think we have our idols and our gods. Some people worship money. Some people worship sex. Some people worship cars, materialism, boats, power, houses, whatever. Prestige, popularity, fame. And those are the pagan gods. Those are the idols of the 20th century. And if that's what you're worshiping, you'll miss Christmas. You may get some presents and eat a big dinner and see a tree, but you'll miss it. Finally, and maybe this is the saddest of all, Nazareth missed Christmas. Nazareth. It says in Matthew 2:23 that after Herod had died, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus, the child Jesus, and went back to Nazareth. And in the fourth chapter of Luke, a tragedy takes place. Finally, Jesus realizes it's time to tell the Nazarenes who he is. And what was their reaction? And they all bore him witness and wondered. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is he kidding? This is Joseph's son. In verse 24, he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know why Nazareth missed Christmas? Familiarity. Familiarity. They knew him so well, he wasn't special. That is a deadly thing, people. And whenever I come across somebody who is not a Christian, and I ask them if they've known of Christ, and they say, oh yeah, I was raised in that, but I'm not a Christian. A fear grips my heart because familiarity strangles conviction. You've heard it so many times, so many Christmas stories, so many Christmases, so many sermons, so many Bible lessons. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so in Mark 6:6, the rather pensive, tragic word, he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching. He marveled at Nazareth's unbelief. And by the way, beloved, in Matthew 13:58, it says he did not many wonderful works there because of their unbelief. You know what happened at Luke 4 at the end of the chapter? When Jesus got done with his message in the synagogue, it says they grabbed him and they took him out to the cliff on the edge of the town to throw him off, to crush him to death for blaspheming. But he passed through their midst miraculously. They would kill him. That's what I call missing Christmas. Oh, the deadliness of familiarity with Christmas truth breeds a stony heart. I'm telling you, you better respond while your heart is soft, or your heart will become hard and you won't have the opportunity to respond. Some of you have been raised in Christianity, raised in a Christian home, and you've never responded to Jesus Christ. And if you keep hardening your heart, you never will. Listen, there are lots of reasons why people miss Christmas. But behind all of those reasons is one basic reason: unbelief. They won't believe. They refuse to believe. And so said Jesus. He came into the world, and the world, what? Received him not. And John says the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But then he says this, in the first chapter of John, the 12th verse, but, now mark this, this is the turning point, but as many as, what? Received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Whatever the reason you've been missing Christmas, if you receive Christ and believe on him, Christmas will become a reality in your life. It can happen today. That's between you and God.
John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary. The lesson today on Grace to You Weekend, we trust, has helped you better enjoy this Tuesday's Christmas celebration, the lesson titled, The People Who Missed Christmas. Now, let me make a suggestion. This weekend, take some time to read that Christmas account, both in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. Do that with your family if you're able. And another thing, if you've been strengthened by Grace to You during this past year, would you write us and let us know? We'd love to hear from you. The address here is Grace to You Weekend, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or send an email to letters@gty.org. Just let us know how John's teaching has helped you better understand the Scripture. Maybe one of his books or a sermon, a specific one, has helped you see your need for the gospel. Tell us about that, please. The address again, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or if you're using email, letters@gty.org. Thank you, too, for your support of this broadcast, especially here at Year's End. Listener donations over these next few days will help us start 2013 on a strong financial footing. You can send your gift by mail or using the toll-free number 1-800-55-GRACE. By the way, don't forget to visit that website, gty.org, because you can download any of the messages you hear on the broadcast. John has over 3,000 sermon titles currently available, and you can place them on your smartphone. You can download the Grace to You app for your iPhone or Android device. Download that app today and get individual sermons from John free at gty.org. And now for John MacArthur, I'm Carl Miller, reminding you to watch Grace to You Television Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378 or watch online at gty.org. And then join us right here next week as John continues unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You Weekend.